Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey, that's great that Mark went out, isn't it? Read to the kids today. But years ago, we used to send the suit out. But I thought it got a little embarrassing after a while where we made the kids read to him. I just... Okay, let's get to our play-by-play.
Yeah, our 94KX crew was out at Southern Columbia yesterday. Well represented there, too.
All right, let's get to our play-by-play call of the day. LeBron passes Michael Jordan for number four in the all-time NBA scoring list.
Rondo trying to get it to LeBron. Does. LeBron down the middle to the rim. Lays it up. In and a foul. And there it is. LeBron James with that basket and one has moved past Michael Jordan into fourth place on the NBA's all-time scoring list. 32,294.
John Ireland with a call on the Lakers radio network. All right, I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself. I just thought it was embarrassing for the station.
He asked me to read him a sales report, not a Dr. Seuss book. What?
They all kept coming back. They said no. All right.
All the places you'll go with digital media.
So. Yeah. All right, let's get to Nate Bauer, who now, look, Nate has gone through a very tough day where he's still rehabbing his knee, and after doing the television show with me this morning, may consider, by the way, that the knee rehab was actually more enjoyable. Nate, great to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Steve. The first hour was not enough.
Of course not. And congratulations on your winning the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. That's great.
I thought we decided that the Honda. No?
Look, I've got you winning a lot of different tournaments. So.
Sure. Well, you know what? By the time this is all said and done, I plan on having those titles.
I'm not surprised. But now you've gone through, now in between the two shows, you've done rehab, so I expect you to be cured.
Totally true. I'm ready to go.
Now he gets frustrated because he's talking about last night's game and he's making all valid points. And I said, "Look, they won. Whatever." He's like, "Okay." There's like a bottom line. So when they've had so many close games, that's about how I walked out. They're like, "Look, they won. Next." Okay, yep. You guys watched it. I people can debate whether I watched it, but what did you think?
I thought that for as many games that they've been involved in, that they have come up on the wrong end of, that it was fitting. You know, it was a fitting type of game. You know, like the reality here is, if you can go up by 20 points on a team, there's a very good chance that that team can do the same thing to you in the second half. It happens all the time. It is not unique to State, you know, and that's, you know, that's kind of how it shook out last night, especially when the you know, look, officiating always comes into play. People get upset when it's used as an excuse, but look, you know, at one point, I think Rutgers was in the bonus with 10 minutes to play. Penn State had three fouls.
Penn State never got there.
Right, exactly. You know, it was so an imbalance started to come up in the second half. You know, as we were talking about earlier, the Miles Dread, the hook and hold, that was a 7-point swing. You know, they nailed both free throws, had another bucket, and then had a steal and a three-pointer, turned into 7 points within like 30 seconds. So it, excuse me, games can be swung very, very quickly, and that's you know, kind of what happened in the second half.
Yeah, in fact, it reminded me of Ohio State. The hook and hold call on John Harrah gave Caleb Wesson a couple of free throws, and that was pivotal to them hanging on to win. I thought that call was pivotal. And again, look, from what I could tell, it looked like the right call, so I'm not disputing the call. But it was a momentum turner when it happened, because Penn State was up 12 with the ball when it happened.
Yep. And I did think that, they only made 11 out of 33, I think, shots in the second half. So obviously, Penn State needs to do a better job of they had some good looks, they just weren't falling.
Yeah.
But then there's a second half of that equation, and again, you know, it does come back to officiating to a certain extent. If you're going to the lane and you're getting to the hoop, and you're drawing contact, I mean, look, Chambers talks about it all the time. They're trying to get fouled. They want to get to the free throw line.
Yeah.
If you're having a drought from the field, you need to do something to see the ball go through the hoop. And one right. of the best ways to do that is to draw a foul and get to the line. If you don't get to the free throw line, that's where those 8 turnovers that we talk about in the second half, that's where stuff like that comes from.
They're live ball turnovers. Live ball. You're better off taking the ball and throwing it out of bounds.
Yes.
Because if you do, you set your defense up. Live ball turnovers, you don't. I mean, that's what, again, that's what hurt them. But this was one of those games where they played so well that they built up so much collateral.
Yep.
They ended up not losing all of it.
Yep.
It's because they never trailed.
And I think, Pat talked about it in a couple other games before, but like Nebraska, I think, is the one that comes to mind. That's the strategy. If you're the opposing coach and you're down by 20 points at halftime or 18 points, your intent is to foul the other team.
Absolutely. you've got to rough it up as much as you can, because that's your only shot.
Correct. And you can't if you're the officials, because I mean, honestly, it's a smart play. For a variety of
reasons. Absolutely.
It extends the game, okay? Because every time that a foul is called, it stops the clock, and that's good for you as the team that's losing. And then also, you force a decision on the officials. They can't call a foul every trip down the floor. And so what happens is, eventually, you're going to get away with some stuff later. And, you know, I think that to a certain extent, that's what happened last night.
No, I always refer to it as the Michigan defensive backfield rule. They can't call pass interference on every single play, so we're just going to keep doing it.
Yep, no doubt.
That's what it is. I mean, if people, and I don't care if you're a Michigan fan or not. You want to sit down, we'll rack up a tape. You and I can, we can have a good time watching it. The conference right now, Indiana's going to play Illinois tonight.
Yep.
Last night, Georgia Tech beat NC State at NC State. To me, that's the big difference between the Big Ten and the ACC. That's the first time somebody in the bottom beats somebody in the middle or top in the ACC.
Yeah, and Northwestern waxed Ohio State last night.
Yeah, no Caleb Wesson, and they took advantage of it. Pardon had a big game last night.
Yep. But that's kind of been the case all year. But I think what's interesting for Penn State is, so Penn State needs 2 wins, and they got 1 last night, and 2 Indiana wins, because it's kind of
that's
the three, right? So Indiana plays Illinois and Rutgers. If Indiana wins both of those games, and Penn State wins both games, Indiana shoots up to the 9 spot.
Yep.
And Penn State gets the 10th. That's already done. But that's as high as Penn State can go, is that 10th spot. But it would avoid for them the first day of the tournament. And, right. After an 0-10 start to the Big Ten schedule, that would be pretty remarkable. I don't know if you saw it, Steve, but Teddy Greenstein actually had a tweet this morning. I think you're just thinking out loud, but contemplating Chambers as Big Ten Coach of the Year. Which I understand some of the pushback and some people that would not be pleased with that. But look, there is something to be said for winning 6 of 9 when you're 0-10. You know, I mean, just the demoralization factor to be able to get through that is it's pretty remarkable what they've been able to do.
Well, to be honest with you, part of coaching is the ability when things aren't great around you to hold it together.
Sure.
And Patrick Chambers, in conjunction with his staff and the players, they held it together. I'm sorry, that's a big element here, the ability to do that. But there have been some really great coaching jobs in this league. I think Tom Izzo's done a great coaching job because he has no Nick Ward. Aarons has a bad back, and Langford's out. Now Matthews is out for Michigan. Matt Painter had to replace 4 starters last year in his group. He's done a heck of a job. And to be honest with you, in the second half of the year, Pat's done a great job with this team. Not a good job. He's done a great job with this team considering where they were. Because, look, you could be so demoralized, you're done.
Yep.
Right, and the outside noise is suffocating and so forth, and that's great. But the people who want to continue with the noise have an agenda. So,
yeah, no, I always think of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation when everything has gone wrong, and Chevy Chase is there, and he says, "Worse? How can things get any worse?" You know, that. Sometimes when you're talking to Pat and they're in the middle of the mire and the muck,
sure,
of that run, and he's you wouldn't blame him for losing it. I mean, even when things seem to go right, there's still something that sends them to a loss. I'm thinking specifically of that 10th game and the no call on Lamar. So I mean, right. it's very much to their, including especially even beyond Pat and his staff, the players themselves. So you're 18, 19, 20 years old. It's a lot. You know, I don't know if you remember being that young, Steve. I do. It's hard. Yeah. It is hard to get through that stuff. So.
Yeah, I think when I was going through that, Nixon was president. Let's see. I remember Watergate. Lamar Stevens will have some nights, and this is in part because of the free throw line, because he's getting there far more often now, where his efficiency numbers are off the charts. And last night was not one of them. He had more shots than points. So that's not a great efficiency night at all. But there's going to be an opportunity to vote here on players. If you were to pull somebody aside and say, should Lamar Stevens be a first team all Big Ten selection, your answer would be?
Absolutely. I think that there is an argument to be made that the first third or the first quarter maybe of the Big Ten season, specifically that early stretch in January, was not his strongest performance.
No.
I thought that he probably tried to do too much during those games.
Right.
But if you want to put him up against just about anybody else in the Big Ten the last month and a half.
To be honest with you, Carson Edwards has struggled the last 3 weeks.
Absolutely. I mean, including the game that Penn State played out there.
Yeah.
So, I think that it's interesting because obviously everybody wants to know at this point whether or not he's coming back, right? I mean, you see Tony Carr go to the league or try to go to the league, ends up playing overseas. You know, what's next for Lamar? And 6 weeks ago, I would have said, move back. He's, no doubt about it. He's a sure thing to come back. He needs to come back. And I still think that that's probably the direction that things are going to go for him. But over the last 6 weeks, I've kind of squinted my eyes a little bit and said, he looks like an NBA player to me. He has just made leaps and bounds in terms of his maturity and reliability, and then his performance. I mean, he's going up against some, you know, the best defenders that, that teams have, and he's doing it all. Especially that mid-range game. I mean, it has blossomed even further over the last 6 weeks.
Well, if he does come back, he might be the preseason player of the year in the conference. That's if he does come back.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And the other part of that equation, Steve, is his defense. I think as much as his offense has been great over the last 6 weeks, his defense has been just as good. And last night was another big part of that. Some of those steals and blocks and just affecting shots is a huge piece of Penn State's success, and it was again last night.
And not only that, the odd part about this team is that they have as many road wins in the Big Ten this year as they did last year. Mm-hmm. Now, they did play one more road game, obviously, because there's a 20-game schedule this year. But I don't think people realize how many quad one and quad two wins Penn State has. They have a lot of quad one and quad two wins.
Put Penn State's team sheet up against teams that, you know, you would have thought are bubble teams or in as of a week ago, and they look pretty strikingly similar.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when you put yourself in that kind of, again, I'm not advocating for Penn State to be in the NCAA.
Oh, no, but I'm just saying it's amazing the number of actually quality wins they do have, because what people don't realize, okay, if you beat somebody in the top 75 on the road, that's a quad one win.
Yep. If Steve, I mean, very, very realistically and legitimately, in a Minnesota game that was decided at the free throw line instead of overtime,
yep,
and that Purdue game where Lamar got fouled and it was not called a foul and they ended up losing in overtime. Both of those games, if they has both of those games, we're talking about a team that has a resume right now.
Right, exactly.
And a very legitimate resume. I mean, not a territory with a, you know, whether it's that Indiana game at the beginning of the year, you name it, Nebraska at the end of the game, mm-hmm. all of those different opportunities. But specifically, they have the scouts. They've already, I mean, even if you look at, I was looking last night, they have, in the Big Ten, they have the most games played against top 25 teams in the entire conference.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just been, it's right. been a murderer's row for
right.
them.
Right. I mean,
11.
Look, on their non-conference schedule, the only one I would have changed up probably was NC State. When I saw that, I thought, well, that's a little bit, you know. That's the one I would have changed up. Would have put a different opponent there. I'm for Alabama because Alabama's coming back.
Yep.
Right. So I'm okay with a home and away there. But other than that, for the most part, they did fine their non-conference scheduling. Except the only one, and when it came out, I was like, okay, they're going to play NC State. You know.
Yeah.
That's the one where I'm trying to remember when we found. Well, actually, I found out about it in March or April last year.
Yeah.
But I sat there and went, I don't know about that.
Yeah, it was look, I mean, I would be lying if I said that I didn't think that this year's schedule was very much a reactionary measure to what happened last year.
Right.
Last year, first of all, you've got two fewer opportunities for the 20-game Big Ten schedule.
Yep.
And last year, they only had a couple of games. And if you only have two opportunities against good to very good teams, and you lose both of them, then you're sunk. Instead, this year they've got five out of 11 non-conference teams are decent to very good games,
right.
And they lost four of them, but they got the fifth in Virginia Tech, and under any type of normal circumstances for the rest of the Big Ten schedule. They did what they were supposed to do.
Except for January.
Yep.
Nate, thanks so much. I know you've had to endure a lot today.
Hey, I love talking Penn State hoops, and I love talking Penn State hoops with you. So nobody's more knowledgeable than you. It's fun.
I show up. Okay. That's what I'm best at. I show up. Thanks, Nate. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Nate Bauer, Blue White Illustrated, and also Rivals.com. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Up your new car game in March with a new Kia for just $99 a month from Sunbury Motors Kia.
Wanna see you in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
You heard right. Lease a 2019 Kia Forte LX for just $99 a month for only 24 months. Drive away in a 2019 Kia Soul for only $149 a month. With deals like this, you'll have to hurry in to get in under the buzzer. Sunbury Motors Kia also has up to $10,000 off MSRP on a 2018 Kia Cadenza and $8,000 off a 2019 Sorento LX V6 with convenience package. Everyone's a winner with Kia because all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Up your new car game in March with Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Leases are for 24 months, 10,000 miles per year, $3,500 total fuel inside, or approval entry. No security deposit required. Tax and tags extra. Discounts include all applicable rebates. Offers expire 3/31/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. The Nittany Lion basketball team won last night. May not have been the prettiest finish on the planet, but guess what? They won the game. You would be shocked how I consider that to be a good standard. Bucknell plays tonight. They got a Holy Cross in the Patriot quarterfinals. At Soika, 7 o'clock, the tip-off at Soika tonight. I'm beginning at 6:30 with Doug on Eagle 107. So there you go. That's what we have coming up. Bryce Harper makes his debut Saturday. First at-bats that, interesting, don't count. But it's all right. He'll be in a Philly uniform. He also has bought a plane that will be flying over Anaheim, telling Mike Trout Philly is the place to be. There's also a great story about how Bryce Harper saved tens of millions of dollars. You want to know how he did it?
This should be interesting.
By signing with the Phillies and not signing with the Giants, Dodgers, Angels, or Padres. What do all four of those teams have in common?
Let's see. Out there, I would think higher taxes.
Yep. California.
Boom.
Yeah, you want to stay away from if you have the independence to move someplace and you can do your job anywhere, you want to stay away from states that just absolutely fleece you out of money. And why do you think some of the athletes now live in Texas and Florida? Why is that? Well, the weather's nice and there's no state income tax. That's why, for example, did you read about the woman in South Carolina that finally, after not quite a year, but finally came forward with her $1.5 billion Mega Millions lottery ticket?
Yeah, she waited a while to do that.
She waited a while. Well, guess who panicked? And I mean panicked. The South Carolina legislature. Do you want to know why the South Carolina legislature panicked?
Well, the longer that the longer you don't hear who won, their books get off kilter.
Yeah, because she was going to owe $61 million in state taxes, and they had built the $61 million into the budget. They're getting mad at her for not coming forward. Well, excuse me, she bought the ticket. She can come forward anytime she wants. Okay, it's not, who cares what you think? I heard that story. I laughed. I said, what a bunch of fools. You're so desperate for money that the lottery winner has to bail you out? Really? Okay. Very interesting. Then there's your guy, Antonio Brown. He may be California bound. Put him with David Carr. He'll be all set to go. Let's see. Several notes for you. Number one, Jim Boeheim is cleared of wrongdoing in the fatal accident. Look, it's going to haunt him forever. And obviously the Jimenez family, it's just going to be something that is never going to leave them. But for Jim Boeheim, it's going to haunt him forever. I mean, I can't imagine going through that. He wasn't speeding. He was trying to avoid the car. I mean, so he is cleared of wrongdoing in the fatal accident. Number two, Hall of Famer Tom Seaver has been diagnosed with dementia. And then everyone's talking about the incredible season LSU's having. Well, gee, how did they get there? Well, here's the story. FBI wiretaps intercepted telephone calls between LSU coach Will Wade and aspiring business manager Christian Dawkins, in which Wade expressed frustration about his inability to close what he described as a strong backside offer. I'm not going to use the word. For a recruit. Yahoo Sports first reported details about the contents of one of the telephone calls on Thursday. It has been independently verified as a call between Dawkins and Wade, which occurred in 2017. The FBI was monitoring Dawkins' cell phones as part of their clandestine investigation into college basketball corruption. According to people familiar with the calls, Wade was frustrated with a handler of current LSU guard Javonte Smart, who was then a top 50 recruit, Smart's out of Baton Rouge. Wade told Dawkins, quote, I was thinking last night on this Smart thing. I'll be honest with you. I'm tired of dealing with this thing. Like, I'm just sick of dealing with it. Like, this should not be that complicated. Wade said, quote, dude, I went to the handler with a strong offer about a month ago. Very strong. Problem was, I don't know why he didn't take it. It was tilted toward the family a bit. It was tilted toward taking care of the mom, taking care of the kid. Like, it was tilted towards that. Now I know for a fact he didn't explain everything to the mom. I know now he didn't get enough of the piece of the pie in the deal. Remember, everybody's praising LSU. Look how LSU's come back. Are we maybe finding out how LSU came back? They're 25-5 right now. They're 15-2 in the SEC. They're tied for first place with Tennessee. Now, Smart's having a pretty good year. 11.5 points, 2.5 assists per game. And Wade is going to be called to the trial on April 22nd. He is on the list. He has been subpoenaed. Then there's the second kid they were talking about. There's another conversation on the wiretap. Now, this happens to be a guy that they ended up losing to Florida State. In this conversation, Dawkins says to Wade, and it's Balsa Kravica, he said, do you want Balsa? And Wade says, quote, oh, the big kid? Dawkins confirmed he was talking about Kravica. Okay, but there's other stuff involved in it, Wade said. I've got to shut my door. And then Wade said, I can get you what you need, but it's got to work. I mean, this is what we're doing? Hey, there's no surprise in this call. I really, there's no surprise. All of us could have told you this 35 years ago. No, over time things have changed a little bit, but this is not unusual. But that's why I've always been very reserved about oh, what a great look at this LSU breakthrough. What a job Will Wade's done. I don't do that stuff. And the reason I don't do this is that I'm not quite sure how Will Wade got there. Well, now I'm finding out more about how Will Wade got there. Then you get a guy like Patrick Chambers over here, I mean, just busting his backside, right? And even when he wins, he gets criticized. Okay. Oh, yeah, they held on last night. Oh, I'm sorry. It's March 7th, okay? If you're really big time, now, a coach has to examine everything. A coach has to examine everything. How well they played, so on and so forth, okay? Got it. They've got tape. Players got to put their raincoats on. They got to go into a film session. They got to understand that they're going to hear the good and the bad. That's the coach's job. But there is also a bottom line. They won. He's opened up the Philly area, the corridor between Washington, D.C., Baltimore, and Philly. And I've always said, the number one item in a coach that I wanted, obviously, I want somebody who's clean. After that, the number one item I want is I want somebody who takes the Penn State job to think the Penn State job is the job to them and not a stepping stone to something else. And sometimes in college basketball, that's tougher than people think. Even football, for goodness sakes. Dana Holgorsen left West Virginia for Houston. He went from the Big 12 to, what, the American? What? You always go from the American to the Big 12. You don't go from the Big 12 to the American. And that's one thing about Chambers. He's throwing his heart and soul into it. Heart and soul into it. Into what is a very tough job, and I think you can, I'm not so sure people understand, but I will quote Cale Sanderson. Okay, I will quote Cale Sanderson. Pat's got the toughest coaching job on this campus. Now they've won six of their last nine, four of their last five. They got Illinois here Sunday at noon. By the way, we're going to take our clocks and kick them ahead an hour, so it's going to be daylight time. But last night, look, they built up enough collateral where they had enough in the bank at the end to win. Would have been great to sit here and talk about the second half being as terrific as the first half? No question. But there is a bottom line at some point. In my career, I've done too many, quote, beautiful losses. Oh, wow, did they play great. Oh, it's just too bad what happened. Well, guess what? Okay? I walked out of the building last night announcing the game for the team that won, got in my car, drove home. You don't want to be the one team in the country. You don't want to be one of those teams in the country where your victories aren't fun. I mean, do you really want to be one of those programs as a fan where the victories aren't fun? I think all victories are fun. They're a blast. They're all coming all shapes and sizes. Certainly last night's did. But guess what? Do you want to be one of those programs where people go, oh, that was awful. You won. And it's still awful. Interesting times. All right. We'll come back. You know, it's interesting. Ken Pom does score predictions. Remember how we had Ken on the show? Guess what he had last night? Penn State winning by a point. I think he had 68-67. My understanding is, through the grapevine, is Vegas has changed their lines because a lot of fans were subscribing to the KenPom website, seeing what he put down. Vegas finally wised up and started looking at what he was putting down to see how close it was to what they were putting down. It's amazing. Penn State, by the way, 41 in that analytic today. Come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Attention Central PA truck buyers! SMT is where you want to be in March for the largest truck sale in their history. Choose from over 125 new Ford trucks with savings up to 15 grand. Sunbury Motors has new Ford F-150 4x4 crew cabs priced as low as $39,619. During Sunbury Motors' 71st annual new Ford truck sale, every new F-150 will come with a complimentary accessory package. This $800 accessory package includes a tonneau cover, wheel well liners, and all-weather floor mats. The much anticipated all-new 2019 Ford Ranger is available in both Super Cab and Crew Cab and is now in stock at SMC.
And it doesn't end there.
Take $6,000 off new Ford Escapes, $7,000 off Echo Sports, and up to a whopping $8,000 off Ford Explorers. With four city blocks of new Fords
and over a century of automotive experience,
SMC is where you want to be in March during this historic 71st annual new truck sale. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Great to have you with us on the show. Closing things up. All right, so let's see. I'm trying to think what do we have tomorrow? We've been on such a roll lately.
I better get working on tomorrow. The most interesting man in New England back in his regular spot.
Well, that I do know. That I do know. I do know we have that. I thought we had something else tomorrow. That one's on me. I should actually know that one. but we've had a great week. And I hope everybody's had a great time listening to it. Here it is, March. By the way, our thanks to Joe Lenardi for being on the show today. Also, Nate Bauer for being on the show today. That was awesome. The Coach's Show is coming up in an hour, and I guess we're on about an hour and 10 minutes. So I'm not quite done yet today. But it'll be a lot of fun. Doggone it, I know I've got somebody lined up for tomorrow. This is on me. Try to think here. Who the heck are we at? And then let me do baseball. It'll come to me at some point. When it does, Sean will be the last to know.
Sounds good.
Perfect.
So the Lakers are going to put LeBron James on a minutes restriction and likely won't play him back-to-backs for the rest of the regular season. I did the exact same thing. I'm like, what?
I have no words. That league is just bizarre.
Wow.
You know that?
That move to L.A. has not worked out so far. Wow.
Well, it's worked out for him. It's worked out financially. Big time. Because of look at all the movies and shows he's making right now.
It's true. Yeah.
I mean, that part of it has worked out exactly, I think, the way he hoped it would work out.
Well, if it wouldn't have been for his barbershop show, I mean, that wouldn't have been part of Antonio Brown's weekend media blitz last weekend, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get back to you on that.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's where the big payoffs happen.
NBA's got something to worry about here. It'll be the first time in ages no LeBron James at all in the playoffs, and how many casual fans, just how many casual NBA fans will not watch at all? And it goes back to the start of the season. You'd hear about the ratings that TNT's ratings down, ESPN's ratings down.
I know.
For NBA, it's like, wow.
Well, but at some point, if your league is worth its salt, and I've talked about this before, I've always been interested, what is the NBA going to be? And I'll use exactly the same terms if it turns out some year that it's Atlanta against Utah in the final. If it's Atlanta against Utah in the final, what's the NBA going to be? I mean, that's a legitimate question. And that's where you'll know it's strong. the NFL can get away with a Super Bowl where it is Carolina against Denver. How about that? The NFL can get away with a Carolina-Denver Super Bowl. And the NBA, in my opinion, cannot get away with that with the star power if they don't have star power in it, like big-time star power. And that is something that I think they have feared for a long time. They are not strong enough as a league, despite what they keep telling you. Look, ESPN pays $1.4 billion a year for the NBA. $1.4 billion. So needless to say, they promote it down your throat as a viewer.
Case in point, last night on the late night Sports Center after 11:30, when the LeBron went past Jordan for the overall points and, you know, career overall points, they went into this long pre-recorded LeBron montage. I couldn't even watch it for 30 seconds.
That's what I mean. It's just when you've got $1.4 billion a year, not $1.4 billion over 10 years, which is $140 million a year, it's $1.4 billion a year, which means now in, is this the third year of the contract? You're talking about you've already invested $4.2 billion. Billion. You're going to shove it down everybody's throat all the time. Victor Oladipo, how is he? LeBron, hangnail, may not go tonight. Breaking news, James Harden won't play against Warriors. I was watching that one night. Breaking news. Breaking news what? It's one of 82 games. If this were the playoffs and he wasn't going to play, that's breaking news. A regular season game in February? No, it's a note. I mean, that's why you don't get the right news. It's all about money.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.